Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter, and today I am speaking with Dr. Nader Pourhassan. He is the CEO of Cytodyn Inc. Stock symbol is CYDY, over the counter. Dr. Pourhassan, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So, Dr. Pourhassan, this is really our third interview since January, and you know, Cytodyn has been making some really tremendous progress since then. There's been a lot of exciting news developments. What's, I think, most interesting is, you know, recently H.C. Wainwright put out a buy recommendation, or actually I think they reiterated a buy recommendation. They have a 12-month price target of $1.50 on the stock, so that's about a 3x move from the current price level. So, and I think there, and from what I understand, the analyst is basing that just on the value of leronlimab for the HIV indication by itself. So, without taking into consideration the rest of the pipeline. So, you know, that really kind of leaves a lot of upside here. So, that being said, can you, you know, bring our audience up to speed on, you know, where the company is right now, you know, along the path towards, you know, final FDA approval and the start of revenues for leronlimab PRO-144 HIV?
Yeah, absolutely. So that the report continuously keeps saying that the risks that are involved still is finishing the clinical trial. We already finished clinical trial. We hit our primary endpoint. Our p-value was impressive value, 0.0032. You need 0.05 to get accepted by FDA. We finished the trial with 81% responders rate compared to Pfizer of 45% and ibalizumab 43% or so. So to say that our stock price could be $1.50 12 months from now, I have a disagreement with that, because the fact that you be one of the 5,000 products that's making it to the finish line to get approval, and the fact that Samsung, one of the top biologics manufacturing in the world, wanting to manufacture our product with deferred payment post-approval is because they believe that there's going to be tremendous amount of product needed. And if the minimum we sell the same numbers that the independent BioVid report has indicated to be able to sell, even in the first year alone, if we're able to sell $500 million, or in the second year sell about $1 billion as the report is indicating, then the numbers that you do for the revenue versus the net profit and then do a small multiplier in Wall Street, 8 multiply the smallest number, those numbers add up to be around $5 to $10 stock price, not $150. Now, we have fought so many different, ideas in order to get monotherapy in place, in order to get combination therapy, to get only few years, be able to get to the where we are submitting final application for final approval. And we believe we have to fight this battle for the stock price, and rightfully so, because we raised $200 million with this product in the last 4 years. So there's pressure on our stock. We are sitting at OTCB. There's a lot of things that will be changing, and I believe this year is our year where we are able to harvest the fruit of our labor that has been very difficult labor for the last 5 years, and our shareholders should see a good value for their investment.
So, you know, can you maybe talk a little bit about, you mentioned the Samsung deal. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, that was a very big deal to us, because Samsung Biologics don't allow their manufacturing for other companies to have deferred payments. And when they allowed us to have deferred payments after going through our data room and checking the FDA correspondence and feeling comfortable that this is a product that's going to be approved, they gave us a contract that could produce hundreds of millions of dollars worth of product, and in the 7-year contract, billions of dollars. And we don't have to pay anything for the first batch. which is going to be produced in the late 2020 or early 2021. And we don't have to pay anything till next year. This time, our first payment will come due perhaps, or I'm sorry, next year, March, the first payment comes due. And then there is payment plan to go through all the way to the end of the year of next year. So that was a we saw that as a great victory. But again, you're sitting at OTCB, you're not getting the kind of value for your news that you keep putting out. But that's, again, another battle that we believe we can successfully win because we do have a lot of great fundamentals that are in place and are solid.
So that, you know, that's a strong validation. Now, so they're going to be the manufacturer, the contract manufacturer for leronlimab for the HIV therapy.
That's correct. Leronlimab for any indication will be manufactured by them.
Okay. So, can you kind of bring us up to speed on, you know, where the company is right now, along the path toward that, you know, final FDA approval and when, you know, when revenues can commence for leronlimab again?
Yeah. So we were hoping to submit the final application for final approval, BLA, biologic license application, a few months ago. And what happened is when we had success with our monotherapy with a higher dose and got a better responders rate, the FDA said, well, your other trial that you're getting approval is not monotherapy, it's combination therapy, and you use the lower dose, which was the maximum dose at that time we wanted to expose patients with a sub-Q injection. Therefore, the FDA requested some data from higher dose of our monotherapy in a specific 100 patients. As we went forward and our timeline changed, we were able to submit the first portion of the BLA that had nothing to do with the dosing. That was our non-clinical section. So that got submitted. So that left us with two other sections to submit, clinical and manufacturing. But the fact that 525 milligram became the dose, 700 milligram became the dose, the FDA said now we need 100 patients that have been dosed with 700 milligram in your monotherapy. And they have to go 24 weeks. Now they changed that to 50 patients. We were lucky to get that to 50 patients, 700 milligram, starting with 700 and going 24 weeks or going at least 12 weeks with the other 50. So 100 patient total, 5700 milligram, 24 weeks, 5700 milligram, 12 weeks. As the data came out, we realized 525 is as good or better than 700 milligrams. So we told the FDA we're going to go with 525, and we have all the data we need now. We don't have to wait any longer. That question is being posed to the FDA as of today or tomorrow. The letter will go to the FDA. Now, when we give that, the FDA, if they accept the 525, then our clinical trial most likely can be submitted by end of August. Again, the delay for several months was because of our success with the higher dose. I want to make sure that shareholders realize we're not delaying anything because we didn't complete a task from our side. In regards to manufacturing, same problem. The FDA indicated now you're going with a higher dose, so we need stability results and a PPQ, your product performance, you need to show us the quality of those for three batches with a higher dose. So the vials will be filled with 2.4 milliliter. And we asked them 2 weeks ago or so that can we submit the stability test while the review of the BLA is going on? If the answer is yes, we can submit the BLA package by the end of September, and it might be a couple of weeks delay to the October or maybe earlier. So in that regard, the delays are because of the success, but the final application completed could happen by toward the end of September, plus or minus few weeks. The clinical portion, end of August, plus or minus few weeks. Now, with all of that, your timeline starts after the final application is given. 6 months waiting, but we have been granted rolling review, so we're hoping that non-clinical has already been reviewed, and if the other two can be reviewed in expedited fashion, we're hoping to have the approval by the end of first quarter, therefore revenue in the second quarter.
Okay, and this is for the combination therapy, I just want to make sure that people, this is for the combination therapy.
That's correct.
Okay.
With the monotherapy, we have good success with a higher dose. So now we submitted the first pivotal phase 3 for final approval for the world of HIV with monoclonal self-injectable once-a-week antibody. That has never been done in the world of HIV. And the FDA requested for us to meet in person to finalize the protocol. And once we finalize the protocol, the first pivotal trial will start. I have to say that monotherapy, we have enrolled in this phase 3 investigative trial over 560 patients. We had no patients who was non-responders and had any problem going back to their original regimen. That means there is no danger for patients. So far, the patients that we have done, we have shown no danger of going back to the original regimen. We haven't had any X4 grow out. We haven't seen any resistance. We haven't seen any ADA, anti-drug antibody. These are very, very positive results. But again, we need to meet with the FDA and initiate the first pivotal protocol. Pivotal protocol in monotherapy with a self-injectable once a week could be a shift in HIV paradigm. And we believe the fact that when we enroll patients, all the sites enroll so quickly, it shows the willingness of patients and wanting of this product by all the HIV patients that are out there.
So the monotherapy would be a once-a-week injection, a self-injection of the leronlimab per 140?
That's correct.
Okay. And that's – so that's – you're going into just – you know, maybe you can explain in layman's terms into phase 3 right now you're entering phase 3.
That's correct. I just want to make one quick correction. It's one dose a week. So it's two injections one after another because the volume can't hold anything. But the two injections, one after another one, and it's one dose.
And how does it? And how does that compare to, you know, other therapies that are on the market right now?
The therapies out there all are with just pills, oral pills. The latest one that is not oral pills that I believe is approved now is from Viv, but it's intramuscular injections, and that is two injections in each side of the buttocks once a month. Patient has to go to a center to receive these. They cannot do it at home, self-injection. It's very painful, what I'm hearing, and they have to go through a period of just taking the oral pill for that to make sure that there is no toxicity side effect issues. If they pass that portion, then they will be placed on the intramuscular injections. So the difference between us and theirs is we have a subcutaneous injection under the skin. Patients reported hardly any pain, and it's once a week, simply done at home rather than going to the center. So other than those two intramuscular injections, as a first line or second line, we don't have anything out there. There is an antibody that got approval with a similar protocol that we have, but that one is also IV for the patients who are in deep salvage situation where they could die if they don't receive another product. And that one, the patients have to go to a hospital or a center to get an IV, 1 hour infusion IV every 2 weeks. So very uncomfortable position for both of those, in my opinion. But ours is rather simple and easy to use.
So you know, before we get into some of the recent news that the company's released, can you give our audience just a quick snapshot of, you know, the Pro 140 and the current pipeline?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah,
one more time?
Yeah. Can you give our audience just a quick snapshot of CytoDyn's technology, the leronlimab Pro 140, and the current pipeline, the product pipeline?
Yeah. So leronlimab Pro 140 is a humanized monoclonal antibody that is a self-injectable subcutaneous, and this product can be used once a week for monotherapy to replace all the pills that the patients are taking. We have patients who have gone 5 years, and they have patients that have gone 2.5 years with a different dose. Now, we're not approved for this product, so the monotherapy, if it is able to get approval, patients going to have some new way of being able to have treatment that is completely different than what they have today. In regards to combination, it's an unmet medical need population of HIV. That population are in danger of not having any more active arms for their regimen to be viable. We are getting approval for that first, and hopefully get approval back-to-back for monotherapy within a year from each other or so. In regards to other indication, we have been approached by one of the top oncologists in the world that he had discovered 5 years ago that the path to killing from any cancer tumor is most likely through metastasis that involves the HIV pathway. So the metastasis of most of the cancers are happening, and when it happens, it kills the patient, but it happens because of the CCR5 that this the researcher indicated in a published paper, that those metastasis cells are the one that have CCR5. CCR5 guides them through a signal to a place where they home and have metastasis. Dr. Richard Pestel is that scientist, and now he's our chief medical officer, has joined us because he believes the future of cancer can be altered by the success of this product. We are very hopeful. We gave FDA some animal study, and they gave us immediately a phase 2 green light to conduct. We are hoping to inject our first patient anytime. We also were pleasantly surprised when we gave data from our animal study in graft versus host disease when Pfizer used their HIV product for that indication. That small study also allowed the FDA to give us a phase 2 for graft versus host disease, and we are now exploring NASH, and we are exploring six more cancer indications, other cancer indications, and we hope to have some animal data so we can get to phase 2 for them also.
So let's go through some of the recent news, maybe, and you know what it means for the company. So maybe you can start off with the most recent announcement, with which is Dr. Sasha joining you as the senior science advisor.
Yeah, that's the most exciting thing for us that has happened in the last 6 years. Is Dr. Jonas Sasha was studying our product. He's an associate professor at OHSU, Oregon Health Science University, as one of the largest primate centers in the world, is in Portland, Oregon, Beaverton, Oregon, to be exact. And he, after studying our product for 10 months or so, he has said that the results of prophylaxis or prevention for leronlimab is very exciting, and also the results of cure for HIV is very exciting. He will be publishing those documents by the end of the year, which will mainly, he believes, will give us major media attention, and it will be time that our company will be actually talked about in the media and everywhere about being the future of HIV, perhaps. Now, he already reached out to one of the top centers for prevention that is very close, that they know him very well, and they do collaboration. And the Thai Red Cross just signed the agreement with us, a memorandum of understanding, to go forward with the prevention study that we don't have to fund, and it's funded from Dr. Sasha's contact. Dr. Sasha is also working on the cure program, and he's very excited to announce those results. And he believes that the future is, again, leronlimab. HBO did a documentary about a year ago. The latest news on the public is the cure, and for the Timothy Brown and second London patients, both of them are reporting it's because of CCR5 is missing from the T cell. They are Delta 32 patients or Delta 32 bone marrow transplant patients. So it all indicates that our mechanism of action is very hot for HIV and other areas, and we are very excited to explore all of those avenues.
Interesting. So there's a deal with, was it the Thai Red Cross to use leronlimab as for HIV prevention.
That's correct.
Okay. And what about also you put out some recent news about generating some near term revenue from licensing the Pro 140 for use in diagnostics Can you talk about that and what the revenue potential there is?
Yeah, so the revenue potential from that is obviously small to start with. It's a diagnostic, but the big news for us was that we had some product from leronlimab product, the Pro 140, that is for phase two grade. We cannot use that anymore because now we have commercial grade. So that product would have been discarded. And it's quite a bit of product when it comes to diagnostic use. And when we found out that we, for our monotherapy, we have to use quite a bit of diagnostic tests to verify the receptor density of CCR5, we talked to the lab and Dr. Bruce Patterson, who's the ex-professor at Stanford, said that why don't we use your Pro 140 that you're discarding and make an agreement with us, and whatever tests you have, we use your own antibody, and we also use the marine version of your antibody, PA14, and we can pay you for you that product instead of paying another lab to get a product that we can verify the CCR5 on the tissue. Those tests have to be done for our patient. And he's already doing those kind of tests for other pharmas and life science companies, and he's willing to use our product. So we were very delighted to sign that non-binding term sheet, hoping to sign a definitive agreement for him to be able to use that product that was supposed to be discarded at a very high price compared to the commercial level product, because diagnostic use very small amount and it's pretty expensive. So we believe we're going to have revenue, no matter how small it is at the beginning. It could grow to be much larger than what it is in the first year. But in future, we will be able to use all of that product that was supposed to be discarded.
Okay. So, you know, let's kind of recap. What are the key milestones? Right now we're already in mid-July. What are the milestones for the next 12 months that investors should be tracking?
Well, a huge milestone is to finish the BLA submission, which is hopefully in the third quarter, if not the very big, early part of fourth quarter. And then, be able to have final approval is huge, which is, again, within the next 12 months. And then entering the world of cancer with triple-negative breast cancer would be huge. Having the first monotherapy pivotal trial initiated this year, hopefully, that would be amazing for the world of HIV, and be able to have back-to-back approval. That won't happen within a year, but the back-to-back approval for monotherapy could be shortly after that. Getting involved with NASH, we are waiting some results from animal study. That would be huge for us. Getting involved with multi-different cancer programs and try to get a phase two and license it out perhaps to other companies would be very important for us. And our prognostic test that Dr. Pestel brought to our company, that we acquired his company and got that test, is in the pre-application process for 510K. We are meeting with FDA in August. So that would be a huge news if we're able to come up to some agreement to use the data that we have so far and get that 510K approved, hopefully within the next 12 months. Then we have a prognostic test that would generate revenue for us.
So, Dr. Pourhassan, my last question, it's, again, our favorite question to ask CEOs is, in your opinion, right now, what are the, top three reasons for investors to consider your stock today?
One out of 5,000 products make it to the final approval according to FDA.gov and other places. We're one of them. We don't have high risk, high reward company. We have very low risk now and high reward. The company can go for multiple indications. I don't think you can find that many companies with multiple indications, going from HIV, small population, to very large population, to cancer, and to NASH, to graft-versus-host disease. And most importantly, is all of these that we're talking about should give the inflection point that all biotech companies dream about. This is something Gilead had to wait 7 years. Their stock was in the same level as our stock for 7 years, then they had the inflection point. We believe we are one of those companies that have a very strong inflection point, and it's happening very soon, in my opinion.
Excellent. Dr. Pourhassan, again, congratulations on all the recent progress, and we look forward to following up with you in the coming months.
Thank you so much.